See, a sacrifice is when you give something to God that you hold dear. That literally tonight, maybe God is asking you, there's something in your life that you're holding so dear and it's taking more precedence from God. It's becoming an idol. And tonight, maybe God is speaking to your heart at this very moment saying, look, here it is, and He's naming it right now in your mind's eye. Put your Isaac on the altar now. And then just walk away.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey there, this is John Couch with This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. You know, the concept of our God being great is something that our finite minds cannot truly grasp. But we know this from God's Word, that His Word says that He is great, and He is therefore greatly to be praised. And so I pray right now we would take our Bibles and let's turn to the great text in Psalm 96, looking at verse 4, as we listen to the conclusion of the message entitled, The Lord is Great.
Key number one, if you're writing down notes again, write this down. Key number one, I will be a true fan of God's greatness when I am no longer a true fan of myself. Let me repeat that again. I will be a true fan of God's greatness when I'm no longer a true fan of myself. Let me unpack that for just a moment. I know this seems harsh, but as I've studied Scripture, I've come to this conclusion. God is not interested in sharing His throne with either me or you. I know in America that rubs our flesh really raw. It's offensive, isn't it? But God's not interested in sharing His throne with me. God's interested in jealously guarding His glory and His praise. And I would fall down and worship Him and just say, how great is the great God of the Bible? See, here's the deal. When I fall down and worship Him and you do the same, a lost and dying world, here's what happens. They look at you and they look at me and they go, wait a minute, didn't you just get the cancer report? How in the world are you worshiping this God you serve? Wait a minute, isn't that car that you drive, isn't it continually in the repair shop and there's one trial after another? How do you continue to praise this God? Wait a minute, your marriage is falling apart and yet you have a song in your heart saying, my God is great. He's going to do something great in this season of my life. How in the world do you do that? Do you see why God allows the trials in our lives? So many times He's showing off His glory so that we will learn, that we will be taught, that we can go into those seasons of life and go, God, I know You're pruning me. I don't like this. This is lousy. But man, you know what? I'm going to trust You. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. And while we're doing that, the neighbor across the street is going, I want in on that. I want a piece of that. Because I'm over here going through the same struggles and I'm miserable. See, that's how great my God is. Ali said he was the greatest. Remember that? Alexander was called the great. But great is my God. And there's no one greater. If we're going to have a spiritual revival, renewal, and awakening in America, we must get back to the greatness of God. So many people, and I hear it almost every day, boy, if we just get so-and-so in the White House, we'll get this ship turned around. Let me tell you who needs to get in the White House. God. You put God in the White House and we'll get this ship turned around. Matter of fact, you put God back in His church house and we'll turn the ship around. That's why we need some people, regardless of age, young, middle-aged, seasoned, we need some people starting tonight that drive a stake in the ground and say this, I'm choosing this day whom I'm going to serve. As for me and my house, we're serving the Lord, period. Telling you what, you have some boldness in the Lord and take that stand. In a watching world that I believe is so unenamored with our God, because so many times they see believers who are so unenamored with the same God as well. We start becoming enamored with this great God, and I believe a watching world will go, wow, you really believe and live out what you say. I want in on this. See, the greatness of God is praiseworthy. The next part says this, and I'll read it in context. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. To be praised is the Hebrew word halal, is how you say it. And it simply means this. It's a very interesting definition. It means to boast in the Lord, but it goes even further. Listen to this for a moment. It means to shine a light upon. Now, I want you right now, just in this moment, to picture that in your mind's eye. When we say, let's praise the Lord, picture it from this moment forward of looking away from self towards God. We're boasting in Him and we're shining a light on Him. I want you to picture something here as well. Imagine that you have the holy word of God here. And imagine that we build a pedestal. And we put the holy word of God on the pedestal. We put it in its rightful spot. We elevate it. It's not a door stopper. It's not a paperweight. It's not a bookend. You just elevate it on a pedestal. And imagine we turn off every light. And just with these four lights right here, 24/7, 365 in this room, we leave those lights on, shining on the holy word of God. It's a powerful visual, isn't it? Do you see what happens when we really praise God? We really begin to shine the light on Him. That's what we do. We praise Him. We're giving doxa. In the Greek, doxa, we sing sometimes what's called the doxology, right? Well, what's the first words out of the gate on that one? Praise. Shine light on. This is my God. This is how great He is. I tell you what, when you live a life that says that, but more importantly, that you live a life that oozes that. Great is my God, and my God, neighbor, is not great based on my circumstances. My God is forever great based on His greatness. See, we want to praise our God. How is the Lord to be praised? Don't miss this in this verse. Sometimes we just skip over words, and that's why we want to literally unpack it word by word. He's to be what? Greatly to be praised. We got a bunch of greats in this verse, don't we? Are you picking up on the greatness of God? For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. We're not just to do one of these, but I get it though, and I understand. Maybe there's some days, you know, you come into even this room or wherever you're worshiping, maybe your prayer closet at home or whatever you're doing. But we don't praise our God on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night and that's it. No. When we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who again washed us, not in someone else's blood. He didn't go out and go, hey, give me your blood. I need to wash this dude. He goes, no, I'm going to wash this dude in my blood. That's what Jesus said. I'm going to shed my own blood, the most precious blood ever. I'm going to wash him. I'm going to wash her. That's my boy. That's my girl. Man, they're mine. I'm washing them in my blood. And here's the beauty, here's the byproduct of that washing, that when God the Father looks at you and me, He looks at you and me through the blood of Jesus. And as He looks through the blood of Jesus, He sees you and me, not how we really are, but how we've now been changed. I mean, we don't look at people and say, you know, I changed myself. We look at people and say, I've been changed. And there's a world of difference. But as I alluded to earlier, I understand there's times we come into a church building or again a prayer closet or wherever, and there are days, there's melancholy, aren't there? There's just days where there's some struggle. There's some days where the flesh just rears its ugly head and you're kind of like, man, God, I know what I need to be doing right now. I know I need to be praising you in my storm. But God, I don't want to praise you in my storm. I don't want to praise you in this trial. I don't want to praise you in this valley. Hey, can I tell you this from personal experience? When we press through that difficult moment and still sing praises to our God through our heart, those are some of the sweetest, most beautiful times of our life, when we are down and the only place we have to look is up, and we truly see how great and providing our great God is. See, if we weren't down at times, I don't think our flesh and our humanness would truly appreciate how great He is. Therefore, we're going to bless His name, aren't we? Lord, we're going to bless Your name. Man, we're going to be like the persecuted Christians that I just love to study in those countries. And man, over 150,000 right now are imprisoned for one reason. It's because His name is Jesus. And you know what they say? Are you ready for this one? Some of those people are in literally prison cells the size of a phone booth. And here's the deal. The guard, the person in charge says, you will be released if you just renounce the name of this Jesus whom you call the Christ. And their response is, never. Never. They say, I will never renounce the name of Jesus. I will never renounce the name of Christ. It simply won't happen. How do you get to the point in your life where you simply will not renounce the name of Christ? How do you get there? You just don't wake up one day and go, hey, you know what? Man, if someone comes and holds a gun to my head, what am I going to do? No, on the front end, you choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're serving God. And that way, when the storms of life hit, there's no panic. Because the decision has already been made. The choice has been set. The dagger, the stake has been driven in the ground. And as for me and my house, the greatness of God is praiseworthy. Amen. Psalm 63:3. Write this down. Psalm 63:3. Listen to this verse. This one, I pray, will just radically rock your world. Here it is. Psalm 63:3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. And all God's people said, is that not awesome? Did you catch what that verse said? Here's what the psalmist is saying. Because your loving kindness, some translations say this, because your steadfast love is better than life. Are we getting a visual on this one? The love of God by the psalmist is viewed for what it is, better than life. And because they understand this vertical of them going vertical to God and saying, oh God, your love is so great, I'm literally just scratching the scratch on the surface of how great your love is. Therefore, it's better than life, and my lips shall praise your name.
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
Hebrews 13:15. I mentioned this earlier. Here it is, though. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by Him, capital H, let us continually, that means there in the Greek language, it means this, it's an ongoing process without stopping. Let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Do you notice it didn't say when we're just on the mountain? It says, look, here's the deal. No matter where we are on the scope of this life, we will continually, without stopping, without wavering, we will press through the pain. We will press through the trial. We will offer a sacrifice, literally an offering of praise. I don't know about you, but when I think of the word sacrifice, you know, imagine I say this. I'm going to sacrifice not going to the dentist tomorrow. If you're a dentist in the room, sorry for the illustration. Didn't mean to take away from your business. But if I say right now, you know what, I'm going to sacrifice right now. I'm going to sacrifice and I'm not going to the dentist tomorrow. There's not a whole lot of pain in that offering. See, a sacrifice is when you give something to God that you hold dear. That literally tonight, maybe God is asking you, there's something in your life that you're holding so dear and it's taking more precedence from God. It's becoming an idol. And tonight, maybe God is speaking to your heart at this very moment saying, look, here it is. And He's naming it right now in your mind's eye. Put your Isaac on the altar now. And then just walk away. He said, wait a minute, I need that security. Wait a minute, I need that hope that I think whatever it is, X brings me. Wait a minute, I can't do that. I've had X for so long. I can't lay that on the altar. Is God asking you to do so? Well, yeah. Then just go be obedient and do it. Because here's what I've learned in my own life. You can never follow God faithfully and obey Him regardless of what the circumstances may appear to be and fail in His economy. But you can do this. You can cling to the things of this life each and every day when He's asking you to have a palms up approach, not gripping tenaciously, not hanging on. Oh God, I got to hang on to this. I got to hang on to that. I got to hang on to this person. I got to hang on to this bank account or this retirement plan or whatever it is in your life that you're hanging on to for hope and peace. No, get to the point in your life tonight where you can surely say that my hope, my identity, my security is only found in God. So important for us to know this praise will be continual. I made a note here. Just listen to this as I read it to you, as I was processing this text here of the greatness of God. And I pray it will strengthen your heart tonight. The key in praising God is not whether our hands are up or whether they're down, but rather that there is an authenticity that is a direct byproduct of the raw nature of who God is, and therefore is a direct reflection of the posture of my heart. Great text in God's Word, 1 Samuel 16:7, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. Do you remember the account? There's Samuel, and he goes to Jesse because he's supposed to go find the king, the next king. He gets to Jesse's house and he looks at the first one and says, wow, that must be the king. That looks like the king. God's like, nope. He goes to the next one. Well, he's got to be the king. God's like, no. And one after another, no, no, no. All right, Jesse. Do you have any more? Yeah, I got this ruddy guy who's hanging out with some sheep. And God's like, that's my guy. 1 Samuel 16. For God doesn't see as man sees. For man looks at the outward. But God looks at the heart. See, tonight, God's not so concerned with your outward or my outward. He's concerned with the posture of our hearts. When the posture of our heart is truly transparent before Him, and it says, look, God, open me up on the operating table right now. Open me up. Look in there, okay? There's some dark recesses. Get in there, God, and scrub those things out. Get in the crevices. Get some of that darkness, attitudes of the heart. And so many times we think of what the big sins, right? And since we don't, you know, have adulterous relationships or rob banks or, you know, go out and shoot people, sometimes it's easy to go, well, man, we're in. We're good to go. But what about jealousy and coveting and bitterness and all those attitudes of the heart that creep in so easily, gossip and slander? And they get in there so easily, we don't even know it sometimes, and yet God is going, I need to get in there, I need to put you on my table tonight, I need to open you up here, time for a little bit of a heart transplant, I'm going to get in there, and it's going to hurt a little bit, it's going to hurt, but I'm going to scrub. And here's what I'm going to do, I'm going to take that stony heart out, and I'll put a heart that's pliable and flexible, that can be used for my praise and my glory. Don't you want to be that man or woman tonight? Where you're just like, God, I'm here for you. This life is a blip on the radar. We could all live tonight to be 100 years old. And you understand this reality? If we all live to be 100 years old, which in this life is a long period of time, do you understand this? That is absolutely nothing in the scope of eternity. Nothing. Nothing. So imagine if we begin to start gazing heavenward in our approach to life and realizing that heaven's not here, heaven's there. And we're on this journey and we touch people each and every day with a smile, a kind word, that we can love people, that we can gospel people, if you will, and show them that there is a way, that there is hope. But in a world that seems like there is no hope, there is hope. How do we know there's hope? Right here my Bible says this, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. That gives me hope today and I pray it gives you hope as well. Because the intensity of our praise should be in direct proportion to how great God is. And we just leave all the baggage at the door, all the troubles at the door, and we just come in the church house each and every Sunday and Wednesday or whenever we come here, and we go, man, my God is great. I'm going through a struggle, but my God is still great. And He deserves my praise. I'll tell you what, your life will be transformed. God will rock your world, and He will rock your neighborhood like you've never seen before. If the needle on your praise-o-meter is nearing zero, this does not indicate that God's greatness has diminished. Please understand that. If you're on empty, and again, we have dry seasons of life, don't we? I've been there. Just dryness. You're just kind of like, God, I have nothing to give you. Here's my sin. And God's like, that's okay. I'll take it. Because God can take our sin. And He's so great that He can take our sin. And He'll cast as far as the east as to the west. That was once what was truly scarlet red has now been what? Made as white as wool. See, that's how great my God is. But I ask myself this question. I want to ask you out loud. Do you know how great God is? He is so great that if we choose today to refuse to praise Him, the great God of the Bible is still great. Are we getting a picture for the greatness of God? I pray we are, because if you're really going to have revival, and again, we got to understand this, revival is not a series of meetings. Revival is a change of the heart. And even if tonight we go, you know what, I don't want to praise you, God. God's still great, and He's greatly to be praised. Key number two, write this down. I will be a true fan of God's greatness when I understand that a truly redeemed heart will long to praise Him. I will be a true fan of God's greatness when I understand that a truly redeemed heart will long to praise Him. Again, put an asterisk there. It doesn't mean that every day we're doing cartwheels for God. There's those dry moments. There's some melancholy days where our flesh is just its flesh. But there will be an overarching theme within our lives. How you doing today? I am too blessed to be stressed. Man, you say that to yourself over and over and over, you will start believing it. And sooner or later you will start living it, and sooner or later those neighbors around you will start scratching their heads going, what has gotten into you? And you can just simply respond, the great God of the Bible has changed my life forever. Praise God for what He does. Amen. The last part of this verse says this as we begin to wind down here. It says this, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. So that's part one and two. Now here's part three. He is to be feared above all gods. Now let me explain this. This is not a fear of I am frightened of the dark. This is not a I'm scared of the boogeyman, so to speak. No, this is a fear of incredible, holy awe and reverence. That there is a posture of the heart that realizes what the heart is gazing upon. In this context, it's the greatness of the great God of the Bible. And therefore, there is a holy awe, fear and reverence. You know, one of our challenges in our culture today, even in churchdom that I've been in, is I believe we've lost our holy awe, fear and reverence of God. See, when we lose our fear of God, we begin to lose our awe of God as well. God is great, and because He's great, He needs to be feared in a holy awe and reverence. Write these verses down. Exodus, back to Exodus. Chapter 20, verse 3. So we talked about 19, and remember there's Moses going to the mountain, and there's thunder, and there's lightning, and there's a sound there of a voice that is like a trumpet getting louder and louder, and it literally is shaking and quaking. And then we get to 20, and there it is, the Ten Commandments. And what is verse 3? Right out of the gate, number 1 say, it's very simple, you shall have no other gods before me, period. Do you understand what that means? Whether it's the Hebrew or the English, however you want to translate it, no other gods means none. Zero. No other gods. And not little gods, not kind of, hey God, here, you're here, but you know what, I got some other little gods in my life, and we're just kind of coexisting together. God's like, no, 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 no. This is not how this thing works. I'm God, there is no other. Get rid of all the idols in your heart.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.